And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Morning.
Good morning.
The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus today. Great to be gathered together as brothers and sisters in Christ to receive the gifts that the Lord has for us both in word and sacrament. This morning, you're here on a special day. We do have a confirmation later in the service today for Dalton, and we celebrate that and the Lord's work in all of our hearts as he continues to give us faith and increase our faith according to his will. We greet those who are tuned in on the radio this morning. Thank you for joining us for our service. We wish you the Lord's blessings as well. And we begin this morning with our hymn of invocation, which is hymn 331 in your hymnal, The Advent of Our King. We sing that together. And if you would be willing to please stand on the last verse of the hymn this morning, let's sing.
Thank you.
We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your presence and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins as a called and ordained servant of Christ. And by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We continue now with our introit from Psalm 34 this morning. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. We continue with our Kyrie. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, your blessed Son came down from heaven to be the true bread that gives life to the world. Grant that Christ, the bread of life, may live in us and we in him, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for this morning comes from the book of 1 Kings in the 19th chapter, as Elijah is fleeing for his life and will eventually be at the Mount of the Lord. This text precedes that event here this morning as he journeys in that direction in the strength of the Lord and with what the Lord provides. We begin in verse 1 of 1 Kings 19. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with our epistle lesson from Ephesians chapter 4. This I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand now, if you're able, for our Alleluia and the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. We continue now with our sermon hymn. That's hymn 684, Come Unto Me, Ye Weary. Let's sing. Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I'll never do that. I would never dream of such a thing. She's never late. Or he's never on time. While we can all empathize that some days feel, honestly, like they're never going to end, and some problems seem to us as if they'll never get resolved, but we use the word never in the strangest ways, so hyperbolic and exaggerated. Truth is, the way we use often the word never is not true. I thought and probably said, some of my family could tell you, at some point in my life, I'll never be a pastor. Oops. Many a young person says these words, yuck, I'll never get married. But before you know it, we use the word in a way that's fundamentally almost contradicting to its meaning. Never means never. And how many of us has even used that word in our prayers? Our prayers to God will say something like, Lord, if you'll just get me out of this one, I'll never fill in the blank. Even the Apostle Peter, oh, the great and wonderful Apostle Peter, Matthew 26, verse 33, Jesus tells the disciples that they will all fall away because of him. And Peter says, and though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. But then what happens? Before the cock crows, he falls away. Three times he denies his Lord. Fact is, we aren't as powerful as we think we are. We're not actually in control of never and forever. But God is. And this morning, Jesus uses this word in a truly powerful and magnificent way for us. But it's easy to miss in the text because we're so used to hearing and saying it in ways that really don't do the term much justice at all. We use it to describe intentions more than reality. But when Jesus says this word, he actually means it. And he has the power over never and forever and the divine authority to carry it out. Think back for a minute on what he told us in our gospel reading this morning in John chapter 6. He said in verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. That's glorious gospel this morning, friends. That's amazing, amazing, amazing good news. This means that no sin and no trouble, no wandering, no straying, no doubting, no mistakes, no errors of ours could ever keep Jesus from receiving us. Never, ever. See, we often fall on two sides of this reality. Some think they're too good for all this Jesus stuff. And those people we usually don't see in church on Sunday morning, they're too cool for Sunday school, to use a funny phrase. Others fall on the opposite side, though. They think inside themselves, in their hearts, they think, I'll never truly be good enough for this God anyways, so what's the point in even trying? Both the Father draws and works faithfully to lead to Jesus. We have to ask, what does it mean to come to Jesus? When Jesus says, whoever comes to me, what does that mean? And why would anyone come to Jesus anyways? Well, Jesus tells us in our gospel reading why anyone comes to him. People come to Jesus because, as Jesus said, God brings them. He said it in verse 39, this is the will of my Father. Think about that for a second. That means that it's not our will. It's not a person's choices or decisions by which they bring themselves to Jesus in faith. It's not their own action or commitment that causes them to come to Christ. It's God's will and God's doing. In fact, Jesus said it in our pericope in verse 44. He said, no one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. John 15, chapter 15, verse 16, he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. But there's more. See, what does it really mean to come to Jesus? I want to look at this in light of the fact that he would never cast us out. What does it look like to come to Jesus? Examine that for a moment in your own understanding of it this morning. What does it look like to you, to me? Now, many people believe it looks like getting our lives cleaned up, making better choices, beating that addiction, or fighting to look like or appear like a better person. Getting serious about their faith, their prayer life, their Bible reading, which are all awesome things to do, okay? Beautiful things. But what is this what it means to come to Jesus? Not really. These things that we've just described are fruits of faith. These things are what happens within a person once they come to Jesus, right? Once the Father leads them and gives them faith through the Word and they believe, these are the things that then happen from the outside, from the inside out. Jesus actually empowers these kinds of works of thanksgiving within us by his Word and Spirit. In the scriptures themselves, did the people who came to Jesus, and he said, I'll never cast them out, and he never did, throughout the gospel accounts, the people who came to him, though, did they have it all figured out? Did they have their lives straight and in order and ready to go for Jesus when they came? No way. No way. Think of the thief on the cross. He's just a really great example of this. Was his life good? You know, he had his stuff worked out and you know, he was being a pretty good Christian man or a pretty good God-fearing man, we could say. No, the guy's hanging on a cross being murdered for a crime that he did commit. He doesn't have it together at all. And Jesus still receives him. And think about Jairus when his daughter was lying about to die and he comes running frantically up to Jesus to find him, to get help, right? And his life was a mess right then in that moment. This is an encouragement for us, friends. I don't know what is going on in your life necessarily, but think about it. Think about the Syrophoenician woman who literally says to Jesus, don't the dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table? Or the woman at the well, remember her in John chapter 4? Her life was a mess. And yet there was Jesus. The woman with the issue of blood who reaches up and just touches his garment and is healed. Or the widow at Nain whose son has just died. Or the man born blind in John chapter 9. There's quite a theme going on here. None of these folks, none of them, coming to Jesus literally in the gospel accounts, had anything to do with what they'd accomplished. Or how great a person they were, how close to God they were, how often they prayed, or how often they went to church, or any of that stuff. It wasn't about how moral their lives had become, how moral their lives had become. You know, it was those who thought they were the closest to God. We know them by like the term Pharisee in the gospel accounts. Those who thought they were the closest to God by who they were, those were the ones that Jesus was the absolute harshest toward. He called them whitewashed tombs. He said they were full of dead men's bones. He called them hypocrites, and he literally called them children of Satan. To come to Jesus in our passage this morning is not to come to him thinking that we're something. It's not to boast or to show off who we think our faith makes us. See, that's not what this is about, friends. It's not about who we think our faith makes us. This morning in Bible study, I think I used the image, just flush that. Who my faith makes me, lovingly, who cares? This isn't about you. This isn't about me. This is about Jesus, actually, right? To come to Jesus means simply this, biblically speaking, and for us as well. To come to Jesus means this, to really, really, finally see that you need him. For me too. To really, really see that we need him. That's what all the people that Jesus receives in the gospel accounts have in common. They actually needed Jesus. Do you? Do I? Or are we doing pretty good in life, right? If that's how we feel, the Lord wants to give us a different perspective on who we are. Wants to show us our real problem that the world's not distracting us from all the time. He wants to tell us the truth. To come to Jesus is to come to Jesus for help, friends. His help. This is precisely the drawing of the Father that Jesus is talking about in this text. And this is the reason we come to church. We come to church not because we're somebody, not because of who our faith makes us, but because we all know together as one body in faith that we all need Christ. This is why people confess their faith. Like Dalton will do in confirmation this morning. This is what Christian life is really all about. It actually isn't about some moral tracking going up on some kind of ladder of righteousness that we're measuring in our own minds about who our faith makes us and how we're doing with God and all of that stuff. That's actually not at all what Christianity is. And if you've learned it that way, let me apologize on behalf of many confused Christian teachers that would teach it in such a horribly confused way as if anybody's ever going to make it up that ladder. We can't. We come to church. We live in repentance and forgiveness and faith. Why? Because we're being drawn by God the Father to His Son, Jesus Christ. And hearing this wonderful gospel, amidst all of that, that no matter who you are, no matter what you've done or left undone in your life, if you need Jesus, God is drawing you to faith and bringing you to Christ, and Christ will, emphasis, never cast you out. He will forgive. God draws us, and that's the only reason we come, friends. He does His work through His Word. There's a very specific way in which He does this work, and I want to share it with you just briefly before I'm done this morning. Because in the Bible, in the Scriptures themselves, there's two main realities from heaven come to us. Those two realities are law and gospel. No matter what text you read in the Bible, eventually, if you keep reading, you'll feel guilty. And eventually, if you keep reading, you'll realize God loves you and forgives you and works in your life despite you and me, ourselves. The law shows us what? It shows us our need for Jesus, our need for righteousness, our need for Christ. And it gives us a real, honest never. Never left to ourselves and our own attempts and our own tries and our own working on our own life will we become the people that we need to become. We'd never make it. We'd never be good enough. The law, it shows us the truth. It opens our eyes to things that we wouldn't be able to see without it. And so God sends His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world that whosoever believes in Him would not perish but have eternal life. He said it over and over in our gospel reading that if we believe in Jesus the Son, we have eternal life. And whoever needs Jesus' cross, whoever needs Jesus' resurrection would not perish. The law of God shows us ourselves, our sin, our shortcomings before God with this one goal in mind, to draw us, to show us we need Christ. So we can come to Him humbly and rightly, and not in our pride, but in our weakness. It's the scripture that says His strength is made perfect in weakness, and when we are weak, He is strong. The law will show you that weakness and me. But the gospel then comes to show us that we have Jesus and that He will never cast us out. By law and gospel, the Father works to draw us to Christ, to behold our need, and to see that Jesus is our only help. That His cross was for you, that His resurrection was for you, and that we will never not need Him. And we come to the sacraments of His body and His blood, not because of who we are, not because of who our faith makes us, but because we need Jesus. That's how the Father's drawing. Martin Luther said, you know, the only person that shouldn't come up and take the sacrament is the one who thinks that they're good enough to deserve it. It's a powerful, powerful statement of what God is up to. See, Jesus is the one who won the sacrament for you and me. He's our way. He's our truth. He's our life. And no one comes to the Father but through Him. It's His righteousness, His holiness, His perfection that He gives you. It's not us trying to create our holiness or our perfection. It's by grace. We've never had our own righteousness, but we'll always have His, because He'll never cast us out. So may we never say never when it comes to how the Father draws us to Jesus and how our precious Lord saves us from sin, death, and the devil. Remember his words, friends. He will never cast you off. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we invite the congregation to please stand, if you're able, for our confession of faith this morning to the words of the Nicene Creed. It's printed for you there on page 8 and 9 in your bulletin. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for our sin and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered in the spirit, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge all who are living and dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified. Who spoke by the cross, and I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge the baptism and remission of sins, the hope of the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come.
Amen. Please be seated. Dalton, if you'd come forward for your confirmation this morning. Face the congregation with me. One of the most beautiful things about our confession of faith as Lutheran Christians is the fact that we recognize that when a person makes confession of faith, when they say that they believe in Jesus, that God has done that right within them, and that he's given them a great gift. And the Lord has given, by grace, Dalton that gift. And so we have our confirmation and Dalton's first communion this morning after this. We begin our confirmation rite. Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." You have been baptized and catechized, Dalton, in the Christian faith, according to our Lord's bidding. Jesus said, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Lift up your hearts, therefore, to the God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. Are you ready? Do you this day in the presence of God and this congregation acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism? If so, say, "Yes, I do."
Yes, I do.
Do you renounce the devil? If so, say, "Yes, I renounce him."
Yes, I do.
Do you renounce all his works? If so, say, "Yes, I renounce them."
Yes, I
do. Do you renounce all his ways? If so, say, "Yes, I renounce them."
Yes, I do.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty? If so, say, "Yes, I believe."
Yes, I do.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord? If so, say, "Yes, I believe."
Yes, I
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? If so, say, yes, I believe.
Yes.
Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God? If so, say, I do. Do you confess the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from the scriptures as you have learned to know them in the small catechism to be faithful and true? If so, say, I do. Do you intend to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? If so, say, I do by the grace of God.
I do by the grace.
Do you intend to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? If so, say, I do by the grace of God.
I do by the grace of God.
Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? If so, say, I do by the grace of God. We rejoice with thankful hearts that you've been baptized and you've received the teaching of your Lord. You have confessed the faith and been absolved of your sins. As you continue to hear the Lord's word and receive his blessed sacrament, he who has begun a good work in you, Dalton, will bring it to completion at the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now we ask you to kneel down at the altar. Dalton Wayne Cody II, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's given you the new birth of water and spirit and has forgiven all your sins, may he strengthen you in your confession of faith toward him and in his grace to everlasting life. Amen. Amen. You can stand up. So stay here with me, Dalton, for a second, would you? Something amazing happens to us today. I already told the adult Bible class about this, but I thought it was so amazing, is that Dalton was working to decide which scripture he wanted for his confirmation verse. And unknowingly so, of course, I was preparing a bulletin for this Sunday for all of us for this worship service. And prepared the bulletin and went to the printer and it was about to get printed, and I caught it, and I said, hey, Dalton gave me his confirmation verse, and we want to put it in the bulletin for everybody so they can see which one he chose. So we got it in there, okay? Well, then this morning, when I came in early to prepare for class and service, I grabbed the bulletin and opened it up, and guess what? The introit this morning on page 3 in your bulletin also has Dalton's confirmation verse. So the Lord had it ready to go either way, buddy. But Dalton chose Psalm 34, verse 8. Then this verse says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Good verse. Okay, I think you're all done, buddy. You can go sit down. We give... Clapping is okay. Make sure you take time after our service to congratulate Dalton, and we're blessed to be able to share in this together this morning in his confirmation. We now come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church, and we'll go before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, you sent your Son to be the bread of life, giving eternal life to all who come to him. By your Holy Spirit, lead the whole church on earth to imitate you, to walk in your love as your beloved children. Lord, in your mercy. Give strength and courage, Lord, to all your people, to all members of congregations who go about their daily vocations, Lord, not in service to the things that the world would serve, but to you. Lord, encourage all pastors, teachers, DCEs, deaconesses, parish nurses, all those in service to you in the church that way. Lord, we pray that you'd assist them, especially those who are suffering from conflict or burnout or depression, as it is, Lord, hard in this world at times. But we pray you'd strengthen them, Lord, by the power of your word and spirit, by the example of Elijah and the prophets and the apostles who came before all of us, that you comfort them through the forgiveness of sins, and Lord, that blessed promise that you made us again this morning of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. Father in heaven, through holy baptism, you have joined the faithful together as your children. And you've made us brothers and sisters in your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray you'd give us grace to believe that through Christ, that we do belong to one another. That the confession that you put on Dalton's lips this morning, you've put in all of our hearts and on all of our lips. Lord, that leads us each and every day to put away all falsehood and malice, all anger and hate, and to speak your truth to one another in love. Lord, in your mercy. Bless all families, Lord, and homes, that one generation may tell to the next the wonderful works that you've done in Christ, Lord, in your mercy. Hear our prayer, Lord, for our nation. Cause us to live in harmony with one another and free our citizens from want and suffering and danger and fear. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Father, we pray you show kindness to all those who are in need or sick or ill. Lord, we name before you those who we've put in the prayers of the church at request. Lord, we ask that you'd bring aid and rush your care to Richard Lynch. Lord, we ask that you'd also rush that care to Dana Gertes and her kids. Lord, to the congregation that lost their pastor this last week in Kansas. Lord, we also name before you and ask you to rush to Janice Ross, to Carissa Wright, to Betty May, families of Michaela and Jaden Wright, to Joe and family, to Echo Webb and family, to Lori Hauser, to Jim and Linda Holman, to Debbie Ford, to Carolyn Jerry, to Betty Gray, to Sandy Santa Stephen, to Betty Patton, to Sonny Rumler, to Don Hermanson, and to all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Father, hear those that we've brought before you today and never let them be in doubt that you hear their prayers as well. And we pray that you'd relieve all pain and provide for those who suffer any kind of hardship. Lord, in your mercy. Bless those who commune this day, that reconciled to each other in Christ's body and blood, they may rejoice to receive your forgiveness through this precious gift. That they'd be strengthened in times of doubt and be nourished for all that they need in body and soul. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Almighty God, Heavenly Father, you sent your Son to be the bread of life. Together with all the faithful who've gone before us, we give you thanks and praise. Keep us, Lord, steadfast in faith, so that when our last hour comes, we may rejoice with them at the marriage feast in his kingdom, which has no end. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We now come to the time in our service where we have an opportunity to return to the Lord a portion of those things that he so graciously blessed us with in our time of tithes and offerings. As our offerings are collected and presented this morning, we'll enjoy an instrumental piece from our organist. If you've been tuning in on the radio this morning, we thank you for listening in and being a part of our service. That way, we invite you each and every week to come join us here on Sunday morning.
And you've been listening to Pastor Jason Cody live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 11 o'clock.